are just so grateful that we can gather together like this around your word. And Lord, I'm so mindful of the fact that unless you anoint the words that I speak, and unless you prepare the hearts of those who are listening, this is just a lecture that we hear this morning that has absolutely no life. So Father, we ask that you anoint these words that are from you, anoint them, and Lord, that the hearts of those that are listening here today are prepared to hear the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I thank you, Father, that this morning that your word goes out with power, that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, would anybody like to guess what we are speaking about or where we're going to be reading from today?
James.
Anybody know?
James.
Yes, James. Now, James has been challenging us. Is that right? I said last week, James shoots from the hip, you know, he is not concerned. James doesn't want to be a people pleaser. He really wants us to hear the truth, and not only hear the truth, he wants us to hear the truth and apply godly principles in our own lives. So I get very excited when we look at James because, yeah, he's just doesn't beat around the bush, eh? So today we're going to be having a look at James chapter 5, just verses 7 through to 11, and this will be our final chat around James's letter, okay? This is going to be the last one, and I think this is number 12, if I'm not mistaken. So the title of my message today is, I Need Patience Right Now. Huh? Aren't we like that? Oh, Lord, Lord, give me patience. Give me patience. But I want it now. Is that right? We often like that. I want to ask you a question here this morning. Is patience difficult for you? Okay. Someone once said this. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in woman. And never in a man. Huh? Yeah. So the question is, you know, how is your patience here this morning? Because believe it or not, James speaks about that. And folks, there always seems to be something out there that's going to test our patience. That's going to try our patience. Huh? What about having to wait? How many of you are good at that? Having to wait. We wait in the traffic. And then we wait in the queue at Woolies. And then we wait. Well, sorry, Krisha waits in the queue at Woolies. She waits in the queue at Woolies. Right? And then we wait to hear about that new job. And then we wait maybe to complete school. And when we completed school, it goes so quickly. Then we wait to retire. Huh? Every day presents some kind of opportunity for training in patience. We need to be trained in patience. Okay? You know that we can reject waiting? Do you know that? We can reject it. We can accept waiting. We can even get good at waiting. Some of us are really good at waiting. But one thing is for sure, folks. You and I cannot avoid waiting. There's always going to be times in our lives that we will be waiting. And if you are in that situation, you and I are going to require patience. Now, let's see what James has to say about patience as we say goodbye to him today. James 5 verse 7 starts off, be patient. How's that? Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. I just want to stop right there, folks. Until the coming of the Lord. He mentions the coming of the Lord here in verse 7, and then he mentions the coming of the Lord again a couple of verses later. We had better make sure that we are ready and prepared for the soon return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to challenge you this morning. If Jesus returned next week, are you ready? Are you ready as you should be? Because he's coming soon. So be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer, now he gives us an example, how the farmer waits. If you're waiting, you need patience. How the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains. Then he says this, you also be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. There he says it again. But now he tells us something that kind of demonstrates impatience. And this is the first thing. Verse 9. Do not, what does it say? Grumble. How many of us find that when things aren't going our way and things are starting to take too long, we start to grumble? James is giving us instructions here on how to live our lives. He says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So he's talking a little bit about, and this ties in with the way we are, that when we are at a place where we are waiting for something, there is a tendency for us to grumble. Is that true? So he tells us, don't grumble. Then he gives us, in verse 10, he says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, it's quite interesting. You see in Scripture from time to time where it seems that suffering and patience, they often go together. Suffering and patience. Verse 11, behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. What is it to remain steadfast? That is where we make a decision to endure. And the problem with many of us in the situations we find ourselves in, that there's no endurance. You know, we want a shortcut. Okay? We want to get out. He says, you have heard the steadfastness of Job, or the patience of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, James addresses three issues in these few verses. And I want to speak about them here this morning. So these are, you know, three issues that we all will face when problems come, when we experience trials and tribulations and difficulties, okay, that come into our lives from time to time. And what happens if we don't handle these things properly, they're going to overwhelm us. Is that right? So the first thing, that we are tempted to lose patience when problems come. Huh? Lose patience. How patient are you when you're driving down the road and a little minibus passes you on the left-hand side where the yellow line is, and then just as he gets past you, he starts to push in front of you. How do you respond? I'm still learning. I'm work in progress like the rest of us. But the Lord is saying to us, we need to be patient, right? How many of you just remember not long ago when you couldn't even go out because your electricity was off all the time? You couldn't go out at night because electricity was off and you were scared you were going to hit potholes because there were no street lights. Huh? How did that kind of joy stretch our patience? Of course it did. So this is the first thing, that we are tempted to lose patience. The next thing, when problems come along, folks, we are tempted to lose perspective as well. And losing perspective, we'll talk about this, because what happens, we find ourselves in a situation where we can't kind of see the wood for the trees. Is that right? And let me say, when we do find ourselves in those situations, you know, it's a good idea to go and get some sort of counsel, right? If you need assistance, I'm not talking now medical stuff. I'm talking about living life, right? If we're starting to lose perspective in life, we need to get some counsel. And if you are going to get some counsel on how to live life, please make sure that you get counsel from somebody that has God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of them. Let us not get counsel from people out there that are going to give us counsel that contradicts the Word of God. Okay. So the second thing is that we can lose perspective. And then the third thing, what happens when we, you know, experience problems, it's so easy to start to blame other people. Isn't that right? We start to blame other people because things aren't going our way. And we start to point fingers. Isn't it interesting? You point one finger and look, there's three pointing at you. Have you noticed that? But we do that. So let's just have a look at this, you know, these things very briefly here this morning. So the first one, we are tempted to lose patience. Okay? And remember too, folks, that whatever it is that you are waiting for, it's worth it. It really is worth it. It's worth the wait. He says in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer, now he gives us an example. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Patient, patiently waiting. Being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. And then he says in verse 8, you also, me, you, us, all of us, you also be patient. Now, when James says, be patient, this is not a suggestion. He's not suggesting that we be patient. He is instructing us to be patient. He is commanding us to be patient. It's a command. Now, there's something very interesting about patience. That, you know, you can draw closer and closer and closer to the Lord, that you have a wonderful relationship with the Lord, right? But you can still be in a place where you are extremely impatient. I don't know if you've noticed that. And why I'm saying that is because this thing of patience doesn't just happen. We have to make a decision about being patient. You're not going to just bounce out of bed one morning, 2 years later from now, out of bed and I'm now patient. Right? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Patience is about where we are right now. It's about you and I making a decision to be patient. And you know, what's interesting, when James wrote this, he was writing to people who were experiencing tremendous difficulties. They were experiencing tremendous difficulties and serious persecution when he wrote this letter. And also, you know, last week we spoke about, you know, wealth, and we spoke about money and all of that, how this all ties in. But in his context, you know, the wicked rich in those days, when he wrote this, were oppressing and they were persecuting Christians, God's people. And he was writing, he wrote this to actually encourage the believers. You know, basically he said, look, their time is coming. But James says that you and I, as believers, we just need to be patient, right? So to be patient in bearing the offenses that come against us. How many of you have had offenses? You know, you have an opportunity to be offended. Anybody here?
No.
You know what? I think I'm going to stop because this is the perfect church. We don't need this. Folks, we all have opportunities, right, to take offense. It might be, you know, the offenses against us, the injustices against us by other people. And let me tell you, even if you didn't put up your hand, you fall into this as we all do. Huh? We know that this passage here that I've just read is aimed at believers. It's aimed at believers. When James wrote this, he's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to believers. How do we know that? Because he uses the word brethren or brothers. He uses it in those few verses. He says it four times. Verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, verse 12, he's saying brothers, 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 and sisters. Us, right? So only people who know God and trust in God can have this kind of patience. And I'll tell you why just now. But folks, it's only us that can have real patience. Believers. The word patience actually means, you probably haven't heard the term because we always look at the negative side of it. How many of you have heard the term long-tempered? We hear the word short-tempered. Right? We all know what short-tempered is. But folks, we need to be long-tempered. We've all heard the term short-fused. Somebody's got a short fuse, is that right?
Yeah.
How often do we hear about somebody that's got a long fuse? We don't, right? So basically, what it actually means, this thing of patience, means to stay far away from anger and to stay far away from rage as well. So the Bible says that you will know believers by their fruit. Is that right? People will know us by our fruit. Now what's interesting about this is that patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that right? Okay? So it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's a characteristic then, if it is a fruit of the Spirit, it should be a characteristic of somebody who is a child of God, somebody who is born again. We should be those that really demonstrate patience. So this is one of those things that actually set believers in Jesus apart from the world out there, because it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the world out there cannot receive the fruit of the Spirit until they receive the giver, right, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, don't get me wrong now. Okay? Patience doesn't come easy. There you go. You laughing, Mr. Freddy. What about you? Okay. Patience doesn't come easy. Huh? It doesn't come easy. Okay? I want to tell you that. Yeah, I want to tell you there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay for patience. Now, let me say it like this. The easy route is impatience. We all can be impatient. That's easy, right? Impatience is the path of least resistance. We can all do that. That's easy. It's being patient. That's the difficult thing. So, you know what? We all have experiences where we've been hurt. We all have experiences where maybe we've been mistreated, or maybe you've been in a situation where people have misunderstood you. Is that right? Hurt you. And let me say this, that hurt can come in many forms. Hurt can, can be domestic conflicts. You might even, be in a place where it's ongoing. You're continually just, I'm not talking about being physically hurt, but emotionally hurt. Just through the conflict continually happening in your home. It can be that you have a difficult relative, and this is where people normally pick on mother-in-laws. Okay, we're not going to pick on the mother-in-laws in this church, right? But sometimes, we can have a relative that is difficult and, hurtful from time to time. We can be in situations where people actually take advantage of us. How many of us have had people taking advantage of us? We've had what we call friends that have been friends suddenly turn against us. That happens. And we have also people out there who start to gossip about us and to start to spread lies about us. Huh? Is that true? Yeah. Folks, this can be hurtful. It really can. And what is our natural tendency when that happens? What do? We want to retaliate. Huh? Because now it's a battle. This is now a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh says, and often the flesh wins here. Huh? Yeah, you want to retaliate. You want to return evil for evil. How many of us feel like that? Not one hand goes up. Oh, okay. Okay, because... But we want to return evil for evil. Is that true? Huh? We want to get even. I want to get even. And when we want to get even, you know what? We even want to hold a grudge. I just like hanging on to this little thing. I want to hold this thing. I want to hold a grudge, you know, with that people. Now remember, this James that we're talking about, who wrote this letter, he was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And remember too that he's the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The half-brother. Obviously, you know, Joseph, we know, wasn't the father. The Bible's very clear when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. All right. But James says that there is a better way to respond when we are experiencing these harmful situations that we might find ourselves in. So God is actually calling us, folks, us Christians, to overcome our natural reaction, which we might call the flesh. The flesh rises up. God wants us to kind of put the flesh down and allow the spirit to come up. So God wants us to overcome our natural reaction with a supernatural response, a supernatural reaction. Now, it's quite interesting because Peter, remember who Peter was? He's the one that denied Jesus. Okay, 1 Peter 2:18. This is what Peter has to say about this very thing, how we need to respond. He says, servants, take orders from your masters with all respect. Not only if they are good and gentle. So it's like your working environment. You might have a boss that is abrasive, that is, you know, really just not the nicest person, that it treats you with total disrespect. Is that true? That happens. He says, take orders from your masters with all respect, not only if they're good and gentle, but even if they are bad-humored or maybe bad-tempered. You might have a bad-tempered boss. For it is a sign of grace if a man desiring to do right in the eyes of God undergoes pain as punishment for something which he has not done. So sometimes if we need to handle situations instead of, you know, responding in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord, we respond in a way that even if we are in the right, he says, undergoes pain as punishment for something which he has not done. This is hard, folks. He goes on to say, he says, what credit is it if when you have done evil, you take your punishment quietly? He's asking a question there. But if you are given punishment for doing right and take it quietly, he says, this is pleasing to God. Wow. Okay, I think all of us need to take that portion of scripture, take it home, start to meditate on this and start to process it and, you know, get a real understanding. Because basically what he's saying over here, he says, enduring unfair treatment with patience pleases God. Is that right? That's maybe a summary of that. That's difficult. Okay. Why? Because we are using God's supernatural ability that is within us. Because of that, we are able to go beyond just the ordinary human response, where the flesh responds. Fleshly response. And now James, he actually gives us a classic illustration of patience when he starts to talk about a farmer, how a farmer waits. He says, you know, the farmer is patient because, why is a farmer patient? Because he values, there's a value in the harvest that he knows that is coming. Is that right? Yeah. And so there's something that's coming, but it justifies the wait because you know what's coming. You don't see a farmer, or maybe you do. How many of you know farmers? You city slickers. Us. But farmers, folks, a farmer, I'm sure, all right, doesn't go and plant a millipip, cover it up, water it, goes inside, sits in his rocking chair, and the next morning he says, wonder how it's going. And he goes there and he digs it up to go and see what's happening. Oh, not too much action. Pushes it back in there, now puts a bit of fertilizer in there, closes it up, puts a bit of water in there, gets back on his rocking chair and starts rocking. And no, a farmer doesn't do that. We know a farmer doesn't do that. But while we are waiting, now this is important, and I think this is what he's saying to us, while we are waiting, you know, for the return of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I cannot just be parked off on daddy's yacht. You know, in the rocking chair and just, you know. Folks, this is not what the Lord wants. Okay, we need to be occupied. And we need to be occupied with the things of God, with the things that involve the church. We need to be out there, like I said earlier on, right? As we leave here today, we're entering into our mission field, out there telling people about Jesus, leading people to Jesus, laying hands on the sick. We need to be those who are casting out demons, praying for people. Huh? Reading the Word. All of these things. But we need to be a patient people. Are we okay? You know, it's quite interesting. You know, some of the greatest missionaries in history, they actually devoted themselves to going into far out places to go out and share, you know, God's word. Is that right? Is that, that's what missionaries do, okay? And many had to wait long, long periods of time before seeing any fruit of what they had done. I have a few examples here. William Carey labored 7 years before he saw the first Hindu convert brought to Christ in Burma. 7 years. Can you imagine, you know, waiting 7 years before you see any fruit? It took 14 years in West Africa before the first convert came into a Christian church. 14 years. They reckon it took 9 years in New Zealand before they saw the first convert. And then it also took 16 years in Tahiti before they saw the first salvation. How's that for patience? The word patient means to endure under. Think about it. We just have to endure under. And what are we enduring under? All types of pressure. But we need that patience. And folks, we don't need to be patient, am I right? If everything around us is running smoothly and going well, and the time schedules are just, everything's falling into place. None of us need patience then, at all. Okay? We need it in times when life is tough, when life is difficult. And I said earlier on, the thing of suffering and patience seem to go hand in hand. And you know, the Bible speaks about tribulation, and it talks about trials, and it talks about difficulties working patience in us. It's good for our character. We know that scripture. It's good for our character. And James also gives the reader, as we these verses that I've just read to us, he gives two examples why we should have patience. The first one we see in verse 10, it says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And we all know the difficulties that the prophets, those Old Testament prophets, what they actually went through. Man, those guys would be stoned and they would be thrown over cliffs. And I mean, all types of things happened to those prophets. Okay, we know what they went to. So we require patience when we experience any form of persecution. What type of persecution are you experiencing at the moment? What's coming against you? We need patience in that. This is what James is saying, right? It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire let me just go back to this. Do you know that many people believe that, you know, once you get born again, once you become a Christian, you life just going to run smoothly. There's going to be absolutely zero persecution. Is that true?
No.
2 Timothy 3:12, we need to see this. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life, if you desire to put up to live a godly life, will you put up your hand here this morning? If you want to live a godly life, I would say that this is all of us. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Folks, it's time that we understand that the world out there is not overly excited about you being a believer in Jesus. They're not overly excited about you wanting to live a godly life and to do things that please the Creator. We're going to be persecuted. The second thing that we see here that James speaks about regarding patience is the example of Job. In verse 11, he says, behold, we count blessed those who endure. There's that word again, endurance. You have heard of the patience of Job. We all know the story of Job. Was he patient? Absolutely. And you have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is full of pity and of tender mercy. So Job was a wonderful example of endurance. Job is a great example of patience. And so if we are struggling with that, maybe we need to just go and read the story of Job again. Right, that was the first thing that I covered when problems overwhelm us. I said there's three things that he speaks about. The second thing when problems overwhelm us is that we are tempted to lose perspective. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And folks, it is here when we find ourselves in that situation, it's there that we need to strengthen our relationship with the Lord. In the second portion now of verse 8, James utters another command. He gives us lots of commands, eh? On how to live. But he says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand, and we need to make sure that our hearts are established. Like I said, if Jesus came next week, and he could, are you and I ready? He says that instead of feeling agitated, basically this is what I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but instead of feeling agitated and shaken up with a problem out there, okay, we must develop an inner kind of sense of stability. We need to be stable on the inside of us. We need to establish our hearts to strengthen ourselves, but it's to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, folks. And I want to challenge us this morning. Are you strengthening yourself in the Lord continually? You might say, well, Dave, how do we do this? I'm so pleased you asked that question, right? How do we do this? I want to say, firstly, it's a discipline. So many people, folks, we put out those podcasts every week. Is that right? Right? And I don't want to grumble, but I'm sure that there are people in this church that never listen to them. Right? Not taking 10 minutes to grow in the things of God by hearing probably one of the best teachers of all time, those podcasts. 10 minutes. And yet we say, oh, that's too much effort for me. I'm not prepared to do that. All right? And yet we want to be ready and prepared for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We strengthen our relationship. How do we do that? Like I'm saying, it's not going to just happen. This is a discipline. We have to make a decision to do certain things. And the things that we need to be doing is on a daily basis spending time in prayer. Are we praying every day? Also on a daily basis, praising the Lord. Just praise Him. Another thing, spending time in the Word of God. This is a huge discipline, and this needs to be done on a daily basis. Because, folks, then people start to say, yeah, but, you know, things aren't going well for me, and I, you know, my faith, and faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. So how can we get our faith to rise when we're not prepared to read God's Word? I'm just saying. So there's a responsibility on us, and it's not just a responsibility, it's about making a decision as well. And the other thing is also fellowship with other believers. Not just here at 9 o'clock to your past 9. Okay? Let's connect with other people. So folks, when we are tempted to lose perspective, we need to keep focusing on Jesus. We need to make sure that we focus on Him continually, keeping the main person, the main thing in our lives. And remember that our walk with the Lord, it's all about Him. It's all about the King, and it's all about His kingdom. And then the final one, just briefly, that I need to talk about what he said here. The third thing, that if we are tempted, you know, when problems come, you know what we're tempted to do? He says, blame other people. We blame other people. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, and impatience with, listen here, impatience with our circumstances. And we're all going through that at the moment. We'd all like things to happen a bit quicker. But impatience with our circumstances leads to impatience with God. And what happens then? That leads to you and I being impatient with God's people. So, question. What do we normally do when the pressure's on? Huh? You know what we normally do when the flesh is in control? We start to complain to everybody that's prepared to listen. You find someone to complain about. Then, according to what he's saying that we need to be careful of, we tend to lash out at each other because of, you know, this problem or the pressure that we find upon ourselves and the way that we're feeling, and we start to kind of have a go and, you know, complain and, you know, interact badly with people around us. Verse 9, James issues another command. He says, do not. Tell the person next to you what James says. Do not. Do not. You know how difficult that is. Do not grumble, he says. And folks, this is literally a command. He's not saying, oh, listen, you guys, if you don't, if you feel like it from time to time, you know, then don't grumble. He says, do not grumble. And you know what's interesting about this thing of grumbling? It's an internal problem. Is that true? Okay? Verse 9, do not grumble against one another. So when the problem comes, we tend to lash out. You know who we lash out at normally? The people that are closest to us. Huh? In your home. Not me, hey darling. And not you, hey babe. But isn't that true? Who's the people we start to complain and grumble and get, you know, iffy with? It's the people that are closest to us. And Jesus speaks about this, folks, because, you know, first of all, when the problem comes, we start to lash out at those people that are closest to us. And you know what we do then? We start to judge and we start to blame. Judge. Jesus said in Luke 6:37, basically we must stop this behavior. He says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Then he carries on. He says, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. And then he tells us something that we should all be doing to set ourselves free. He says, forgive, and you will be forgiven. I've said this many times, folks. I'm going to say it again today. When we forgive somebody, it's not to set that person free. It is to set ourselves free. And we forgive them. And then we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what they did. I'm asking you to intervene. I'm asking you to sort it out. It takes the burden off us. Right? So question, how do we learn to stop grumbling to other people? Be careful to think first. You know what I've learned, and I think it has helped to a point, but remember, we all work in progress. And I would love to say that, you know, here's perfection here. I'm nowhere near it, folks. But we are all work in progress. But one thing that is quite helpful is to sleep on something. Because when you wake up the next morning, it somehow settled our emotions. Right? So for us to stop grumbling to others, first of all, you know, be careful to think first before we speak. And the next thing is to be careful to pray first. How often do we just go in all guns blazing? Huh? We have not involved the Lord. So we need to pray first, involve the Lord. And then also be careful. We have to be careful to show love. Is that right? Now, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is? Patient. You mean, it's even in 1 Corinthians. Love is? Patient. And kind. Right? So we must be walking in love. Love does not envy, it doesn't boast, it's not arrogant, and wow, you know, all of that stuff. But folks, there's a couple of things I just want to, before I close here. We need to be careful to make sure, first of all, that we have all the facts. And how we have learned over the years, you know, especially when it comes to what we do, you know, counseling somebody. You sit down with the one party and you hear their story and you think, oh, the other party, such bad news. And then you sit down with the other party and then you hear their side of the story. And there's somewhere in between is the truth. So be careful to make sure that before we start, that we have all the facts, okay? And also now, here's a big one. This is a big one. Be careful to consider the example that you are setting as a child of God. I want to tell you something, that in your workplace, wherever you spend your day, and if people know that you are a believer, and they should know that you're a believer, and if they don't know, go and tell them. Go and tell them, because otherwise what you're doing, you're just covering that up so that you can kind of mix with everybody and you don't stand out. But I'm saying, be careful to consider the example that you are setting in your working environment, first of all, for non-believers. Because they waiting for you to fall. They waiting to just see, oh, these Christians, you know these Christians? Look how he or she is conducting themselves. But no, folks, not only for the non-believers, but for the believers as well, that we need to be a good example to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And then also be careful to remember that our obligation, and I've just read it to you, is to forgive as you and I have been forgiven. So in closing, can I close? This is my third close. Firstly, just to summarize, when we are tempted to lose patience, remember that it's worth waiting. Whatever it is, it's worth waiting for. Secondly, when we are tempted, we are tempted to lose perspective. And with this thing, we need to make every effort that we can to strengthen our relationship with the Lord. If you're losing perspective, I'm telling you right now, spend more time with the Lord. And then thirdly, we are tempted to... Oh, let me start again from the beginning of my message. We're tempted to blame other people. Huh? Grumbling is not going to help at all. Let's try. Stop grumbling. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to read the final verse from our James series. Goodbye, James. I'm going to miss you. James 5:9. Friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint can be lodged against you. This is like the person with a... blink in their eye. Yeah, they can't see what... Anyway, you know that story. I'm not going there now. But I'm just saying, it says, okay. Friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint could be lodged against you, you know. The judge is standing just around the corner. So folks, all that I've shared today is about you and I making a decision. Like I said, this patience thing and how we conduct ourselves, these are, even if we have a great relationship with the Lord, if we don't make a decision to conduct ourselves in a way that is the Lord wants us to conduct ourselves, we're going to miss the boat. All right. So let's make a decision this morning to do our best to demonstrate patience. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.